Good morning. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 14 through 16. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own people the same things those churches suffered from the Jews, who killed the Lord Jesus and prophets and also drove us out. They displaced God in they displeased God and are hostile to everyone in their effort to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. In this way, they also heap upon their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last. Father God, we just thank you so much for today. We thank you for a chance to hear your word, God, to just come and just gather as a body this morning. Lord, that we can really just hear your word, humble ourselves before you, God. And Lord, we just ask that your spirit will just come and guide and direct this time. In your name we pray, amen. As I was reading this, one of the things that really jumped out to me was this idea of persecution. You know, in today's church, there's more persecution than there has been, many people believe, ever in the Christian faith. In fact, Open Doors USA basically says that in the world today, Christianity is the most persecuted religion in the world and one of the most dire human rights issues that we face. And yet, in reality, we ignore. Right? In reality, we don't talk about the persecution of the church that much. Even as Christians, at least in Hong Kong, we don't tend to talk about our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted. I looked at their numbers, and it's staggering. It's over 245 million believers last year live in areas of severe persecution. Over 4,000 people, Christians, were murdered because of their faith, killed last year. Close to 2,000 churches or other Christian buildings were attacked, and over 3,000 believers were detained without trial, arrested, or sentenced. And so when we see persecution in the church, it's actually very high. It's incredibly high. And it's one of those things that when you come from a Western perspective, and Hong Kong is very Western, we don't really think too quickly about the risk of becoming a believer to our lives, right? I have a former, I think I've shared this before, but a former student whose dad was Muslim, and he became a Christian, and then he basically had to leave Pakistan. And so he ended up marrying a Korean woman. They ended up being missionaries in Hong Kong. And he started noticing people were following him here in Hong Kong. So people realized he had converted from Islam to Christianity. He was being followed. And so he sent his wife and children to India to hide and go to school. It was a very bizarre story. They eventually came back to Hong Kong. But very interesting, like when the student was telling me this, I was just like, this is so not part of my everyday life, right? We don't think of if I'm at home, I always think everyone's Christian when I'm back home, which is just not true. But the majority of people would claim that they're believers, you know? And so this talk that Paul is sharing, he's like, look, you're being persecuted. I was persecuted. Other churches have been persecuted. This is actual normative belief, like what's going to happen if you become a Christian. And they embraced it. They didn't run from the persecution. They didn't turn from God. They were willing to be persecuted and be targeted for their faith. Now, I was thinking about, would I be willing? You know, it's easy to say, yes, I'm willing to suffer for Jesus if that means I have to wake up for EMP and be here, you know, by 7 a.m., right? That kind of suffering. But would I actually, when push comes to shove, would I be willing to actually suffer for Jesus? And that's a hard question to actually answer unless you're about to face it or facing it. You know, and it's one of those things that's just very interesting to me. James 1, 2 to 4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, right? And this is talking more than just persecution. It's testing, right? I think we, more of us sitting in this room today, can relate to being tested, going through difficult times. But you know, I think especially with everything going on in the world today, we need to be ready and really ask ourselves, are we willing to stand up in our faith no matter what? No matter what comes tomorrow, no matter what happens to us, are we willing to stand firm in our faith? Not in our ideologies of faith. You know, not in what we believe to be true. I think some people think they're being persecuted for their faith, but they're actually just being persecuted for or being ridiculed because of their ideologies and not so much about their belief in Jesus. But are we willing, are we truly willing to follow in the footsteps of Paul, of Peter, of this early church? And are we willing to step up and support our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted today? You know, are they on our prayer lists? You know, I mean, are we actually feeling their hurt and their pain and wanting to, you know, minister to them, even if we can't be with them, you know, really, you know, Paul's not with them, yet he's encouraging them. Is this part of our regular routine, our daily life, or are we so just wrapped up in Hong Kong or our work that we forget about what's going around the world to our brothers and sisters? You know, Paul relates here basically that suffering for somebody's word would not be worth it. You know, if you suffer because of something I teach you, that's kind of not smart, right? Like to be persecuted based on my truth. But it's so worth it when you're suffering for God's word. To suffer for God's word is the only word worth truly suffering for. And to be willing to do that is something that, yeah, as I'm saying, like this morning, last night, yesterday, while I was prepping, I was really like, I'm not sure if I'm willing to do it. You know, if I actually have, I mean, until it happens, and, you know, and honestly, I'll tell you, I'm praying it never happens to me, which I don't know if that's the right attitude, but am I willing to suffer for God's word? You know, and as we continue on, I just really think that one of the things that we have to be careful in these verses, though, is because he talks about the Jews and how the Jews are the ones that crucified Jesus. You know, I was, about 2 years ago, I was somewhere, it doesn't matter where I was, and someone came to me and basically cornered me and was like, we have to stop teaching that the Jews killed Jesus. And I was like, but they are tangibly, physically the people who killed Jesus. She's like, but we are turning children and adults into anti-Semitics. I'm like, okay, let's back up a little bit. You know, but when we read Paul's words here, it can be very easy to forget that we also are part of the reason that Jesus died on the cross, right? When we get to these words that it was the Jews that killed the Lord Jesus, they drove out the prophets, right? This is part of where the persecution took place. This is part of the reason the persecution even started. But we have to be very careful to stop, to only blame. You know, I was when she was talking to me, I was like, she's like, yeah, you know, didn't you grow up with people telling you? I was like, I couldn't remember a single person ever telling me that the Jews are to be blamed. But, you know, more recently, I don't remember who it was. I'm pretty sure it was classmates of mine, not adults. But I do actually remember hearing those words. You know, and as you look around the world, Jews are also highly persecuted. Anti-Semitism is on the rise again in Europe. You know, you read articles all the time about what's going on in Europe with Jews and how swastikas are written in, I think it's Germany. If you're a Jewish teacher, if you're Jewish and you're a teacher, you do not let anyone know that's your ethnicity or your religion. You will often end up having to leave the school because the kids will come after you. And so when we read Paul's words here, Paul is really trying to set this understanding, this feeling that he understands because of what he's gone through. But more importantly, Jesus understands. Paul's words were not to blame the Jews or to become anti-Semitic. It was to remind us that Jesus also has suffered and has gone through pain and he's been persecuted. And so Paul wants them to relate, you're not the first, and you have a God. Jesus knows and he understands. I think one of the things is I've had people tell me, and I'm sure you've all heard this before, you just don't understand, right? And oftentimes, whether we realize we're saying this to God or not, When we're going through hurts or trials or pains, whether it's our fault, the enemy's fault, or just people, right, are persecuting us, or we're going through these trials, we often, in our prayer, even though we might not directly say it, there's a sentiment that, God, you don't understand. God, you don't understand what I'm going through. And Paul here is trying to also look. There's this body, including Jesus, that has gone through this. You know, and I don't have the scripture, and I can't remember it off the top of my head, but, you know, we know the scripture where it talks about Jesus. We don't have a high priest who doesn't understand. We don't have a high priest who doesn't understand what we've gone through, the pain. And so as we come to face these trials, as we come to persecution, whatever it may be, hardships, we can remember that Jesus has gone through. He may not have gone through every last detail that you've gone through, but he understands pain. He understands suffering. He understands how you feel in these situations. You know, when he went on the cross, he took all our sin. He took all that pain. He took all that hurt. He felt it. I truly believe he felt the pain that we feel. And I think we need to remember that when we come before God, that it's a God that really feels what we have felt. He's not distant. He doesn't forget. He's not just someone, God, up in the space who's just watching down, looking at us. You know, and I recently had a few people basically end arguments with me. And they're not heated arguments. We're just trying to come to, we have differing of views, and so it's more like a debate. And they end these conversations with me, you just will never understand. Please don't ever say that to me. Even if I don't, it's kind of like, it's rude. It's really not the best, it's not a way to win an argument to begin with. You just won't ever understand and walk away. But the truth is, there are things we personally will never fully understand. Like, I will never understand what it is to be an African American. I will never understand the pain, the hurt, what they feel on a day-to-day basis, the discrimination they've had to face. I just won't get it. But I can sympathize with what they feel. I can understand feeling hurt or not heard, right? And I was reflecting on this, and I was thinking, for you guys, even when you're dealing with your children or your coworkers and your bosses, we may not understand them in their situation, but we can understand how it makes them feel. And we can come to a place of understanding and sympathy, and we can come to a place of grace and mercy when we're talking with people. You know, and so when we get into these places, we too, to show the love of Jesus to somebody, we don't have to have lived through the pain that they've had to live through to be able to love on them, to show them grace and mercy, to reflect on ourselves in our difficult times and how we would have liked someone to have treated us. You know, Paul also talks here, you know, the persecution that took place was also amongst religious people. People who loved God or thought they loved God. Many who were thought they were doing what was right. You know, and I think in the church today, when you think about some of the biggest arguments in the church, and maybe not to the extreme of persecution, but it comes within. It's from inside, right? Does the Holy Spirit still actively work today? You know, is tongues appropriate or not? And you go down the line, and it's not non-believers that argue with you about Christian doctrine and will push people out. It's Christians themselves. And I think that's something to remind ourselves. Are we moving in that direction? Not necessarily SP, but you as a person. I remember as a teacher, I used to be quite black and white. Like, this is right, this is wrong, and this is how I would talk to some kids. And it didn't work. It didn't work. The black and white model didn't work. The grays and the blues and all those colors, that is what drew people to know Jesus. Teaching them right from wrong was important, but that initial draw-in was understanding, it was grace, it was mercy, it was love, and then teaching them, this is God's way. This is God's way. And it started by me living God's way, but not basically beating on them, making, well, not physically, I never beat on kids physically, okay? But really seeing their need in their heart. David Guzik says this about this. Paul comforted the Thessalonians by assuring them that God would indeed take care of their persecutors. When Christians forget this, they often disgrace and curse themselves by returning persecution for persecution towards others. You know, this is his reflection on these three verses. Christians often return persecution with persecution. You know, and I hate to, you know, I see what Christians have done around the world. We have to be careful not to just be like, poor us. We've done some pretty bad stuff, you know, in the name of God. And I think we need to remember that we need to walk in love. We need to walk in the peace and remember that God is the peacemaker. God is the Lord of Lords, and he's the one that brings about peace, and to trust that he will take care of it. You know, on Tuesday, I led the prayer meeting here, and God led me to be still and know that I am God. And I did some more reading on that because it's in the context of battle, of persecution, of trials. And one, I should have written down the guy's name, but one person said that when he, to truly understand this verse, that specific phrase from God was not directed towards the Jews. It was towards their enemies. It was God saying to the enemy who was battling against the Jews, you be still and you know I am God. Basically ending the stuff that was happening towards the Jewish people. What the enemies were doing towards them, right? It's God's word in battle saying, be still to the enemy. You must know that I am God. And as Christians, we need to remember that God has this power. And whatever trial, if you've suffered persecution or just pain, to remember that God is still in control. So I'm going to ask Matthew to come up. And this morning, I want you just to reflect on one of two things. Are you in a place where you feel like you're suffering for Christ? And if so, I just want you to go to God and ask, you know, have him reveal that he's the God of peace, that he's in control and that he can silence those. And if you are on the other side, where even as a believer, you have been not loving towards your brothers and your sisters, you know, ask God to forgive you and reveal to you why that you've been doing that.
runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love, love, your love. And death in life, I'm comforted, covered by the power of your love. My death, it's paid, and nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love, love, your love, God. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out, it goes on. It's always enough for us. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on us. Your
As we were praying, I really felt God was saying one of the reasons James says consider it pure joy when you face trials is because it's in those times that we often come back to God, we hold on to God, and our faith starts to grow. And you look where there's persecution of the church grows. And so don't necessarily run from it, but run to God. Run to God in these times if you're in that place and allow him to continue to grow his faith, your faith in him in you. So God, we thank you, God, that you're a God we can run to, that you're a God who understands us. God, that we can look at brothers and sisters, the church before us, God, that they also went through hard times. They went through troubles, and we can see and learn from them, God, and we can depend on you, God, that we can know that we can depend on you, Lord, that you are standing with us, that you don't leave us, and that you're walking this path with us, Lord. And so, Lord, we thank you. Can we just spend a moment giving thanks to God before we turn to our prayer? Pray for those in our community who are battling cancer, going through chemo, radiation, therapy, and surgery. Let's just continue to lift them up. Let's pray that they will continue to walk faithfully through God, with God during this time. Lift up those in our community who have family and friends who are suffering from various illnesses but also need salvation. Let's just pray for God just to bring them healing both physically and spiritually. Let's lift up those suffering from other infirmities. Let's just continually pray for healing and just continued, just peace as they go through these illnesses. Pray for those who are looking for jobs. Let's pray for God's continual provision in this time of waiting. And let's just pray that God will lead them to the right place at the right time. Turn to our mission focus. Let's lift up SP Singapore, Spin, Spill, and SP New York. Let's just pray for God just to be amongst their leaders, amongst their congregations, that God will continue to build them up. And let's specifically pray for SP New York as their retreat is this weekend and Peace Sam will be with them. So let's just pray that they'll have a time of refreshment and just renewal during their retreat. Lift up our education ministries, SP Kids, SP Youth, SPU. Let's just pray for God just to continue to lead all our teachers, our leaders, and how to just minister to the kids, the youth, and the young adults in our church. Let's pray that God will also just continue to guide each of these kids into maturity of faith. And let's pray as they grow through our ministries and eventually end up into the adult ministries that they will have a solid foundation and love for God. Let's lift up our prayer and healing teams, IP, The Well, and River, led by Matt and Rachel. Let's just really pray for God to be seen in these ministries, that people will encounter him as they come for The Well and River. And let's just pray that God will just continue to protect all our ministers, all our prayer members, their families, their homes. Let's just lift up these teams. Let's lift up our Thursday outreaches, SP Lights and Homie Outreach. Let's really just pray for those who are going out tonight. Let's pray that God will just be seen through their hands and their feet. Let's just pray that God will just be continue to be seen in this city. And let's pray for deeper connection and relationship with those who we are ministering to. Finally, let's lift up our city. Let's lift up Hong Kong. Let's pray for peace this weekend. Let's pray for reconciliation. Let's just pray for humility. Let's just pray that God's will be done. And so, God, we thank you. We thank you that you are who you are, that you are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, Lord, and that we can hold on to the truth that you are always with us, God. And we pray, Lord, that we can remind ourselves that you, when we come to you, Lord, that you, as we draw near to you, you draw near to us. And so, God, I just pray, Lord, today as we go throughout our day, as we go to work, as we go about our business, Lord, that you will just continue to be our guide, that you'll lead us, and that we will follow you. And so, Holy Spirit, will you just connect to our spirits? Will you connect to our minds? Will you guide us? Will you show us? And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for who you are and all that you've done. And, Lord, we ask today, Lord, that we can just be your servants, to be your hands and feet in this city. In your name we pray. Amen. Have a great rest of your prayer time.